I've met Van Morrison on a number of occasions over the years, but I've never had the opportunity to sit with them and have a microphone between us and capture the moment where you're just shooting the breeze and having a conversation. And that's what we're bringing you today, which is a chat I had with Van in the Culloden Hotel in Belfast recently, around the time of the launch of his album, Keep Me Singing. And it's just a shoot the breeze. It's a chat about songs, it's a chat about life, it's a chat about beliefs. It's wherever the conversation goes. And here we are with the finest music and a fine artist as well, Van Morrison, for the next hour. Stay with us, and you never know what you might find out. The first thing I have to say, Van, here we are in the joy of the Culloden Hotel in sumptuous surroundings. Two only boys, what can we do? First things first, you have, as far as I'm concerned, one of the finest albums you have ever released in Keep Me Singing, just out.
Thanks, Marty. Yeah.
It's absolutely stunning. What is it that suddenly, you know, at your 36th album, where you say to yourself...
It was more than that. That's around 36, much more than 36.
How many is it now?
It's way more than that.
Is it?
Yeah, way more than that, yeah.
Where is it that this constant...
Counting, you know, live stuff, compilations, it's way, way, way
Oh, well, of course,
that,
the compilations,
you know?
Yeah. But where is it that this constant inspiration comes from? Where is it that you find
all the time? Hard work. That's where it comes from. A place called hard work.
Yeah.
Graft.
And do you find that, because you're well able to take yourself away from whatever it is you're doing?
Well, you can't, you know, as a friend of mine said well back, you can't wait on divine inspiration because it might never happen. You know, so yeah. It's just like any job, you have to make it happen. You know, it's like any job.
Yeah, and as you often say, the music comes through you.
I'm not really sure about that. I said that when I was much younger. See, that's the problem, as I said things in interviews years ago that I would question now. You know, I that was what I was banging into then, but I wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know?
No, I wouldn't know.
Yeah. But it is about taking yourself away from everything and letting the
well, yeah, at the minute, right now it comes, you know, in various guises, but it comes from all kinds of sources, you know. It can come from conversations, you know, things that you read, books, picking up... you know, I mean, concepts.
But you're a voracious reader. You devour stuff.
Yeah.
Always have.
Yeah, like I've gotten titles from books, for instance. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So I started with it. Say, for instance, Someone Like You, which you wouldn't really know where that came from, but actually came from that. There's a title of a book by short stories by Roald Dahl. It's like four short stories. It's called Someone Like You. Then there's a story in there called, so that's where I got the title. Other ones like Haunts of Ancient Peace that came from a book title.
Some soul searching. darling. Someone like you, make it all worthwhile. Someone like you, keep me satisfied. Someone exactly like me. I've been all around the world, marching to the beat of a different drum. But lately I have realized, maybe the best is yet to come. Someone like you, make it all worthwhile. Someone like you, never satisfied. Someone exactly like you.
Actually, it's interesting when we think about the songs. When we think about the songs that you have written over the years and where they, how they affect people, and having seen you live in so many occasions, particularly in this part of the world, in the Slieve Donald and here in the Culloden, when you go into In the Garden and it suddenly takes over. It takes over you, it takes over the room.
Yeah.
And people don't want it to end. It is still a magical piece of work. For those of us who love it as a song, and it's very important.
Well, that's
to
great. That's great because that's what it's for. That's really what it's all about, really.
Yeah.
So if I've achieved that, then I'm hitting the target.
But you like the fact that it takes people away.
Yeah.
And they go with you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Summary words. Yeah, and and shiver from my neck down to my spine. Ignited me in daylight, in nature, in the garden. And you went into a trance. Your childlike vision became so fine. And we heard a bell within the church. We loved so much and felt the presence of the youth of eternal summers in the garden. All right.
And are you drained at the end of that because you give it so much?
Well, it works both ways. If kind of where you're going doesn't flow, if it doesn't flow, then, you know, you feel totally drained afterwards. But if there's more of a flow in it, then you, it's the opposite.
Yeah.
It all depends on the night and, you know, how, you know, focused and, you know, if you don't have a lot of interference, then you had, it was okay before, and you didn't have too many problems before you arrived on stage. It all depends, you know. Yeah. And also, like, in bigger places, it depends on if you're hearing things properly. For instance, so I'm playing, like, bigger places. You know, sometimes I'm going to stop playing the bigger places because it's not really, I can't achieve what I want, you know, in a bigger place. And sometimes the sound is really bad because it's, you know, you're not meant to be playing for 10,000 people in a field. So sometimes it's, you're just getting through it. You're just going through it because it's really hard.
When people come to see you in an intimate setting,
yeah,
they get the full force of what you achieve, and they get taken away with you because, as you say, the outside.
That's what it's about.
Yeah. And that's presumably why when you play festivals and stuff, you go for a harder edge.
Yeah, well, you go for more up tempo stuff because, you know, usually the people have been around for a while. They're getting tired. You know, they've been in a field all day, so. Yeah, you hit them with a lot of up-tempo things and stuff that they might recognize. But I can't really do my thing in that environment like I really want to in a smaller place, you know.
And that's why these venues work so well for
exactly,
you.
Exactly, yeah.
I remember when you launched Lit Up Inside, the book, and we were at Olympia.
Yeah.
And you did Coney Island, you did Hindford Street and everything, and it all came out that night.
Yeah, yeah.
Songs we hadn't heard in an age. You even had a bit of a josh at the end of Coney Island. You talked about him.
Yeah.
I let you off here.
You dropped you off on the corner. Yeah.
It changed everything. Yeah. But it is, again, it's that moment where people really adore those songs and want to be in your presence for those songs. Right. Do you sense that from the audience?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Do you get it?
Mm-hmm. I get it, yeah.
No, I know you get it, but do you get the fact that they are so overawed by this and that it has such an influence?
Well, I don't get that because I'm so focused on what I'm doing.
Yes.
But I get it, what you're saying as a concept, yeah.
Yeah.
Stopping off at St. John's Point. Heard all day bird watching and the crack is good. Stopped off at Strangford Lock early in the morning. Drove through Shigley taking pictures and on to Killalay. Stopping for Sunday papers at the Lacal District. Just before Coney Island. Glass in the jam jar. Autumn sunshine, magnificent and all shining through. Stop off at Art Glass for a couple of jars of mussels and some potted herrings in case we get famished before dinner. On and on, over the hill and the crack is good. Heading towards Coney Island. Look at the side of your face.
sunlight comes streaming through the window in the autumn sunshine. And all in all, time we're going to Coney Island, I'm thinking, wouldn't it be great if it was like this all the time?
You've employed loads of strings on the new album, mm-hmm. which is wonderful. And it opens up with Let It Rhyme, and it just has this whole... I don't know what it is. It's a minor chord. It's a beautiful feeling on the album. Again, the sense of this album, you've all manner of styles gone on.
Yeah, that's right.
Why'd you go that way?
That's just the way it formed.
Yeah.
It's the way it took shape, really.
And did you feel that, you know, I can take... Like Fika Trench comes in and helps you with the strings.
Yeah.
But also you can go down different avenues with this as well and play games. It's like going down to Bangor, which is great fun.
Yeah.
But you can't get lost.
Well, also there's consistency too, because actually Fika is actually playing a lot of piano on these tracks as well.
Right.
You know, so it's also the consistency in the, you know, the tracks themselves as far as musician-wise and, you know, vibe-wise. So not only does he do strings, I think it's on, how many is it?
Certainly on the first four, isn't it?
Song one, two, three.
Five.
Song five, so not only does he do strings on, but he's also playing keyboards on a lot of it too.
Is he?
Yeah.
There's redemption later on in the song. You're not sure where it's going, and suddenly it's okay.
Yeah.
Where's that coming from?
Where's it coming from?
The sense of feeling outside and then realizing you're not.
I've always felt like an outsider. Always.
Is that the only child, do you think?
I think it is, and I don't know if you've read the book probably a lot of people are going to rush out to get this book. It's called The Outsider by Colin Wilson. That was one of the books that had a great effect on me early on, as well as Nausea by Sartre, and just Jack Kerouac stuff on the road, and
Dharma Bums,
and Zen Buddhism by Christmas Hope. So these kind of, that's a book that had a big effect on me, and I identified with that outsider. I've always identified with that.
And happy in your own company.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean that you want to be isolated all the time. But it sort of means that you're not just going along with, you're not conforming, sort of thing. You know what I mean?
Mr. nice guy too long. Then I found out that was wrong. In the cold again. Out in the cold again. I didn't know just what was going on. I'm wrong. Every time I try talking to you, you don't hear what I'm going through. In this dog-eat-dog world I'm in, it's a crying shame, and it's a sin.
A track from Keep Me Singing, a track that you, from your point of view, is one that just kind of hits you and you go, you know what, I'm really looking forward to sharing this.
Well, I think I'm out in the cold again would be, because that's where I can stretch out. I like that track, and that from the point of view of stretching out, like you said, and you know, it ends up in a good place kind of thing.
Yes, which is,
it ends up in a, you know.
Yeah, so that would be the favorite.
See, the thing about this business that I'm in, there's a lot of propaganda about, you know, sort of like, well, these people are rock stars and pop stars, and they're you know, they're kind of rebels in there. But actually, they're total conformists. They're total conformists. There aren't, you know, the real rock and roll rebels are from way, way back a long time ago, like Jerry Lee Lewis and Gene Vincent and these kind of people.
Yeah.
You know, there's no, you know. You know, the names that you can come up with, they're just all conformists, and they're in show business. And this is what, you know, people are think that this is, you know, yeah. It's all real, but it's not. These people are not rebels. They're not nonconformists. They're actually total conformists. So that's why people say to me about, oh yeah, you know, you're in the music business and blah blah blah, and you know. It's not just me saying this, but, you know, yeah, I'm not in that club. But I didn't want to be anyway.
You've always said you don't want to join any club.
Yeah, you know, so I'm a nonconformist, but, you know, so that's what they're not saying. Because they don't want to say that because all these other people are conformists. They don't want to give the game away. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They say this guy's like an original. He's actually a real nonconformist. Then they're kind of giving the game away. by all the other people that are supposedly anti-this, anti-that, when they're actually totally establishment and total conformists. So that blows the mythology of that one.
Yes, it does.
You know?
You're still an only child like myself, though.
Yeah. Well, that might be part of it. But you know, I had a lot of cousins, and sure. There was always, you know, a lot of friends and cousins, and you know, people in and out. So
That's right. Well, it doesn't mean that one is always introverted, because you still have friends and you still do what you do.
Yeah.
And you
yeah.
still have all that out there. But it does lend itself, when we think about, we talked earlier on about Hindford Street. It still takes us into that, and imagining, you know, and the way that your mind was able to draw those pictures, thinking back, going way back as you do, and remembering all those days. Hymns to the Silence, the same thing. That sense of wonder that not always everybody can have, but you have. And you have that great gift. So.
Take me back. Take me way, way, way back. Ford Street, where you could feel the silence at 11:30 on long summer nights, as the wireless played Radio Luxembourg and the voices whispered across Beachy River. In the quietness, as we sank into restful slumber in the silence, and carried on dreaming in God. Walks up Cherry Valley from North Road Bridge, Railway Line on sunny summer afternoons, picking apples from the side of the tracks that spilled over from the gardens of the houses on Cypress Avenue, watching the moth catcher work the floodlights in the evenings, and meeting down by the pylons. Playing round Mrs. Kelly's lamp, going out to Hollywood on the bus and walking from the end of the lines to the seaside, stopping at Fusco's for ice cream in the days before rock and roll. Hindford Street, a better parade, Orange Field, St. Donard's Church, Sunday six bells. And in between the silence, there was conversation and laughter and music and singing and shivers up the back of the neck. And tuning into Luxembourg late at night and jazz and blues records during the day. Also Debussy on the third program early mornings when contemplation was best. Going up the Castlereagh Hills and the Craigie Glens in summer and coming back to Hindford Street, feeling wondrous and lit up inside with a sense of everlasting life. And reading Mr. Jelly Roll and Big Bill Brinsey and Really the Blues by Ms. Mesro and Dharma Bums by Jack Kerouac over and over again. And voices echoing late at night over Beachy River. And it's always being nigh.
And what about working with Don Black?
Oh, Don Black was great. I met him at BMI Awards a few years back, and actually, it's a coincidence here again, also because after I met him, you sent me a CD of a compilation that you put together.
Correct. And Moondance was on it,
and it was a song called "Days Like These."
Correct.
Which is like really strange because that's about what we're talking about. That song is about the same thing, you know, going back. And I wrote a song called "Days Like This," so
yes.
I saw that there was a similarity there, and so I just got, you know, went for lunch a few times, and we became friends, and we just talk about songwriting because we're both really into songwriters, and so I just said, well, if you have any lyrics, just give me you know, get them to me. So the song came out of that.
And he's, and of course, he's a prolific songwriter. He's written so many songs over the years.
Exactly. Yeah.
That was Matt Monroe. Days like
Matt Monroe.
Matt
that's
Monroe.
Right. Matt Monroe.
From
from
the Italian Job.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what it was.
Yeah.
Great
yeah.
film.
Well, it's very similar to stuff that I'm writing. So
yes.
That's where I connect with him, and also. You know, it's good to work with other people too.
Well, the Duets album was a huge success.
Was it?
Your album.
They didn't tell me.
They told me.
Sony
this,
never.
This
Sony,
man told me here.
Sony never.
This man here knows everything. This man over
Sony
here.
Sony never told me.
But it. But that was collaboration.
Where's my royalties?
But that's a collaboration at an alarming level, you know, because it's all these people.
Yeah. I don't think it got promoted very much, though.
Didn't it?
No.
I did what I could.
I know you did.
They never sent any money. I can only do so much. But okay. but working with someone like Tom Black, would you do that again? Is that something
you're comfortable
with now?
Of course I would, because, you know, I feel like there's a connection with somebody. You have a connection, and, you know, it can be fun as well.
Yeah.
You know, you're kicking ideas around, and, it's always good, you know. I mean... sounds good to have buddies, isn't it?
For sure, for sure. And also the fact, you know, you're out on the road now, you're writing all these songs, you're still at the peak of your powers, but you look around you and some people ain't so good anymore, and some people ain't, they don't have it, like you do. Which is very, you must feel terrific about that, that you're still there, you're still as powerful as ever in terms of yourself and your abilities.
Yeah, yeah, well, it's...
People with illness and...
feels great, but yeah, that's right. And so I feel like, you know, it's my duty to keep singing. That's what I feel.
When it's not always raining, there'll be days like this. When there's no one complaining, there'll be days like this. Everything falls into place like the flick of a switch. Well, my mama told me there'll be days like this. When you don't need to worry, there'll be days like this. When no one's in a hurry, there'll be days like this. When you don't get betrayed by that old Judas kiss. Oh, my mama told me there'll be days like this. When you don't need an answer, there'll be days like this. When you don't need a chance, there'll be days like this. When all the parts of the puzzle start to look like they fit, then I must remember there'll be days like this. When you don't have no freeloaders out to get their kicks in. When that's nobody's business, the way that you want to live. I just have to remember, there'll be days like this. When no one steps on my dreams, there'll be days like this. When people understand what I mean, there'll be days like this. When you ring out the changes of how everything is. Well, my mama told me there'll be days like this.
That's the double-edged sword.
Yes.
This is the flip side of the coin. And a lot of the songs that would represent the flip side of that, a lot of people don't even know by it, and they probably, you know, wouldn't even bother with. But, I mean, for instance, there's a song called The Great Deception, which I recorded on an album way, way back. So I don't mind going way, way back if it's relevant.
Yes.
But this song is actually probably more relevant now than it was then when I wrote it and recorded it. It's more relevant now. But sort of there's a whole list of songs that I could, you know, give people that go away and say, well, you know, do a bit of homework and listen to this, and then come back and tell me what you think, you know?
Yes, yeah.
Because you're not focusing on that, but because you're more in depth about this stuff. Obviously, you've done the homework, but some people don't do homework, so they just scratch the surface. You know what I mean?
And then they don't get it.
No, they don't get it.
Yeah, but you see, it's homework is one thing, but it's also, and this again,
it's also knowing.
It's also knowing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's also the fact that people have come. If you think about these concerts that you're doing these days, people have come to see you from across the world. So they've been with you all those years. They've been with you since the 60s.
And that was. I don't know.
Many have.
Many have. See, I don't know because I don't get this info.
We'll have to talk to someone. Do you know anyone?
You need to do a survey.
Do you know anybody
you
important?
Questionnaires. You need to get questionnaires. I check all the boxes.
But I think you.
I actually had people do that one time years ago, but nothing came of it.
No. To do what? To research the audience?
Yeah, they did surveys and stuff like this. Did questionnaires that, came back. And they came back and said, well, this costs a lot of money, by the way.
Yes.
And then they came back. I said, well, what's the bottom line? And they said, just play whatever you want.
Great. Well, that worked.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. So they were obviously they didn't get it.
No, they didn't get it.
Because
no,
you can play whatever you want, then people go, what's he trying to achieve?
Exactly.
I've had people ask me actually that question.
Yeah.
What are you trying to achieve by going down to Bangor? Like, nothing.
That's right. It's a trip.
Yeah.
Right, but you see, the funny thing is, because you've that element going on, but you also have enlightenment, a mainstay of the concept.
Yeah, well, that goes back to what I'm saying. That's one of the first books I ever had was Zen Buddhism by Christmas Humphreys. What's the sign of one hand clapping?
Yeah. And that's the stuff that people take with them. And it's also the music that many of us carry through as we go through listening to your music. Like, for instance, I still hear a sense of wonder, and I'm taken back somewhere to my childhood and my beginnings. And you're talking about food, and you're talking about things that are not part of my world, but they are part of my own personal world, and I can put my own image into it.
Of course, yeah.
And we can do that.
Well, that's what it's about. But you have enough sus to do that.
Yeah.
But actually, a lot of the media don't. Unfortunately,
they gotta listen.
No, you wouldn't believe it. I've got some people from some of these rock magazines, and they haven't a clue.
Really?
No, they didn't. They haven't a clue about what I'm about. It's pretty sad, actually.
But
the record company thinks that you do these, and then that's because that's all they know. That record, they just know ABC. It's a very narrow kind of thing.
But is it that they don't listen carefully enough?
I don't know. I just think they don't know enough about the business that they're in. They just don't. They don't seem to know enough about or care to find it. I mean, they kind of think it all started with the Beatles or something.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Very narrow.
Sure.
Yeah.
But you see, also the fact is that you have influenced so many people along the way too. Now, you were influenced as well way back.
Yeah.
You know, your dad's records and stuff and all that we go back to Leadbelly and stuff.
Yeah.
But equally, you've influenced other people who've come along.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And that's a bit of a double-edged sword too, I suppose, in its own way, because you could be happy at one level and at another going, hang on a second, that was me.
Yeah, well, it's you have to put it down to what is it, I guess, flattery or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah,
it's just to put it down to that, or I don't know what word to put on it. I mean, it's intriguing, but you move on.
You let it go.
If you weren't doing anything else,
yes,
you know what I mean. So if I wasn't doing anything else, I could go, well, this guy stole my act. In fact, I've been told by people that I went to gigs by a lot of these famous guys that are supposed to be original. That one of these guys actually used to come to my act and he used to just, steal the whole thing. But if I wasn't doing anything else, I'd go, well, I'm mad about that, but as I moved on, I don't care.
Good for you.
I walked in my greatcoat down to the days of leaving. No, before, after, yes, after, before.
darker grow. This bike and Buffy flow, I said I would describe to me for Samuel and Felicity.
I remember when we, not just to make it personal for a second, when we had a conversation at the Rose of Tralee, when you came down to do, you came down to play the Healing Game, and you played it live on the Rose of Tralee.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And we met afterwards, and we had a long conversation. Right, yeah. And we had a long conversation about fathers.
Yeah.
Because I had just lost my father.
Right.
And I had explained to you that on Enlightenment, the track See Me Through had had a huge impact on me as my father was going. And that's where the Healing Game comes in, Van. That's where your ability to write music that touches people beyond the norm.
Yeah.
It's quite a gift.
It is indeed. And you have to, you know, use it or you're committing a crime. Like I said, you know, before, it's like the thing in the Bible about the seeds. I'm not promoting the Bible, but, you know, the parable. It's the parable, but, you know, you know, you have to use your gift. I think if you're not using your gift, then, you know, you're committing a criminal offense against God or whatever. You know? So, I used it.
Is on Keep Me Singing as well, isn't he? He pops up a few times.
Yeah,
always.
Yeah.
And he's still important. All of that is still important to you.
Oh, absolutely.
He's still searching.
I don't think it's searching. It's the journey.
Yeah.
It's the journey. It's that's what it is. And it's, I mean, you're searching until you realize that, you know, you don't need to search, and it's all happening now.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, what people are not taught. You know, they're taught that it's going to happen when you get the right job. It's going to happen when you get the wrong relationship. It'll happen. And when you get so much money, then it's going to happen. And, you know, it's always a big carrot. So people think everything is the future. So they're kept, you know, on this kind of thing, treadmill about what, but, you know, you have to work on yourself to get to the point where it's all happening now.
Yeah.
There is no past and future. It's just only now. That's all there is. It's always nigh.
There's always now.
It's always now.
When I listen to Across the Bridge, Where Angels Dwell.
Yeah.
On Beautiful Vision.
Yeah.
And that made me think about the journey.
Yeah.
Was that where you were? That was that part of your inspiration for that amazing song?
Yeah, yeah, it was. It was.
Because again, I brought that to a personal level, as some of my friends did too. And it has that impact on people. That they bring it to themselves.
Yeah.
Which is what the very essence of music should be, I suppose.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like Did You Get Healed? Which I just think is one of the most upbeat songs you can play on the radio.
Yeah.
And it's a very jolly song, and yet it asks a question about, are you okay? Is everything all right? How are you? And, but it is about bringing people up. In terms of all of this, and in terms of all the things that you've done, and all the albums, and it's all re-released and stuff going on. Last time we talked, you said you were going to archive stuff. Is that still going to happen?
Oh, there's loads of. You mean there's
all your catalogue and all. You said you had a lot of stuff because you've a lot of material that you've never released.
There's a lot of live stuff.
You're right.
And there's other stuff that you know needs to be released. It's just finding that it's just you know it's the old sort of. Back to the drawing board, you know, who's going to get this together kind of thing, because I don't have time.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I don't have time to sit and ponder and put things together. So someone, that would be a project for somebody.
Sure. But it's something you want to do. I know that you...
Oh, well, it's something that it has to be done.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, for instance, I was just talking about the number of instrumental stuff that... Because, again, some of these interviewers that come from these rock magazines, they're not even aware of my instrumental stuff. You know?
Yeah.
I've got loads of instrumental stuff, but they just don't bother checking it out. But I have, like, unreleased. I've got about, like, at least two CDs of just instrumental stuff that's never been out.
We've never heard?
No.
Really?
Really. Really?
But you see, I think people get a great kick when they see you live playing the sax, or when you get that microphone, the mouth organ or whatever, and the harmonica. They love that because it's a whole other dimension that people need to hear.
Exactly.
Could you do an instrumental album? People would probably be saying,
"Well, I have it ready to go. It just needs to be put out there." I probably could do it through my own website, probably.
But you'd have to keep me playing.
Keep me playing. Exactly.
Would be the title.
Yeah, that's
that
the title.
Can I just throw that in
it's
for free?
Yeah.
No, thank you. It's for free. There's no charge for that. Listen, I want to finish on Queen of the Slipstream because it's one of my great favorites.
Okay.
Can you just run me through Queen of the Slipstream just so we can finish up on it? Because it remains one of, I think, your greatest songs.
Well, there's a bit of William Blake in there, so there's a reference to Songs of Innocence and Experience.
Queen of the Slipstream is...
Slipstream has always been an interesting term for me. Because I've used it before in Astral Weeks, so I've adventured in the slipstream between the viaducts of your dream. So I used it there. So it's always been a concept. That's part of it. The rest of it, I don't know. I can't remember. It's too far back.
We should play it then, shouldn't we? Just let it happen on the radio. Just play it.
Just play it.
Just play it.
It is. It probably is what it says. It is.
I think you're probably right. You're also the only man I've ever come across who can use the word viaduct as part of lyrics in a song.
I don't think
anyone's ever used that word as part of the lyrics of a song. You've used it more than once.
Yeah, I have, because you see that. Yeah, you don't hear about it much, but
no.
There's actually programs, there's documentaries on this going way back about viaducts, and especially in England. There's a lot of viaducts in England.
That's right.
You don't hear about it so much here, but that kind of, I remember that from way back. You know, I used to be doing a lot of driving, you know, in the old days when getting around England, they didn't have motorways, so it was like, you know, it was the A1 and the A this and the B that. It was all these very small roads that people wouldn't believe in, I guess, but, you know, it took forever to get anywhere. But I just remember there was a certain part of Somerset that had these viaducts, and that sort of always just stuck in my head.
You know? I can't believe that we're discussing viaducts, can you?
Yeah.
It's come to this.
I can believe it.
I'm all excited coming up. Let's talk about him.
Well, it's architecture.
It is architecture.
People forget that. It's architecture.
And it's
part of the landscape.
And it's beautiful. We could do a book together.
Exactly.
Take a road trip.
Yeah.
Van, you're an absolute pleasure. I wanted to sit with you like this for so long. And
great.
I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I hope you have.
Yeah, I have, Marnie. It's great.
And if I have anything to do with keeping you singing, then we'll be all right.
Brilliant. Thanks, Marnie.
Van, thanks.
Thanks. We'll be right back.
Lebanon's Loudon is right. Van Morrison and Queen of the Slipstream. Hope you enjoyed that. We just loved meeting him and sitting in the Culloden Hotel in Belfast and having that chat. But happy birthday, Van. He's 75 today, and he's affected so many people in so many ways, and we're mad about him. God bless you. Until tomorrow. Niall is next, and we should talk tomorrow.
To Marty in the Morning on RTE Lyric FM.